Critics of artificial intelligence recently marched and rallied in a Stop the AI Race protest in San Francisco to demand that major AI lab CEOs Sam Altman, Elon Musk, and Dario Amodei publicly commit to a conditional global pause on frontier AI development if labs all over the world do the same. KGVM contributor David Rosenberg spoke with David Kruger, a professor of AI at the University of Montreal and the CEO of Evitable, a nonprofit devoted to providing information to the public about AI, about the need for an AI pause.
So you're taking a tour of AI companies and you're protesting against them and you're trying to raise public awareness about what they're doing. Is that the idea?
Yeah, it's not just raising public awareness, although that's definitely one of the objectives. We are calling on the CEOs of these companies to agree to pause further progress to developing more powerful AI and superintelligence, conditional on other leading companies agreeing to such a thing. We think this is I think this is sort of a bare minimum commitment that anybody should be willing to make and should have already made by now.
And you have to go to all of the CEOs because you don't want to put them in a position where they'll feel like their competition is outpacing them? Is that the idea?
Well, we're not going to all of them. We're going to three of them today. Demis Hassabis, the CEO of DeepMind, which admittedly is part of Google, earlier this year said that he would like a conditional pause. And CEOs of the other companies have said things that would sure make you think they would like it. I think a common thing that people say is like, well, it'd be nice, but you know, we can't. It's just not possible. If we stop, you know, other people won't stop. So we want them to be very clear that they want to stop and that they're willing to cooperate with efforts to stop it, including efforts by the government or by third parties. I also would ask the companies to start putting their money where their mouth is then as well and start trying to stop it instead of racing to develop it more quickly.
So they might say, well, we'd like to, but it'll hurt our bottom line too much. And we have shareholders, we have investors, we have to please them. Would you expect them to say that?
I don't know. I think
I don't know if they're all publicly traded. I'm kind of assuming they are.
Yeah, they're not. So OpenAI and Anthropic, neither of those companies is publicly traded. I don't think XAI is either, although I'm not confident in that. But Anthropic and OpenAI are, I don't know if it's rumored or confirmed that they would be having IPOs later this year. But, you know, shareholders don't stand to benefit from a technology that kills everyone. Nobody stands to benefit from that technology.
Do you, as you go around in your daily life, run into people who say, my phone just went crazy on me, or my computer started doing things without my knowledge, and how could they get away with this? That kind of thing. It's sort of like the, I don't know if it's all AI, but this idea that corporations are basically running your life and you don't have any control over it. Is that sort of one of the core issues that motivates people to try to do something about AI?
You know, I'm not sure about that. I'm sure that's a motivation for some people. I mean, generally, I think the idea that these companies have too much power, you know, I think most people feel that way at this point. And especially as they become more consequential, you know, for things like where people get their news, or now even people's like emotional support, or you know, people having relationships with AIs. And that's just, you know, the tip of the iceberg. I mean, the next step is them basically taking everyone's jobs and being further integrated into government decision making, including, you know, mass surveillance and autonomous weapons. So I think there's a general impression that, you know, tech companies have too much power and they're getting more powerful all the time, and that's a threat to our society, to our democracy, and really to our future and our species.
And is it like other kind of high-tech issues where Congress just is way behind and has no idea what's happening with this industry, and that they really need to put some regulations on it, but they don't quite know what to do?
I think something like that is the case. I'm actually planning to visit DC pretty soon, like in a couple of weeks or so. And I'll be really interested to talk to some policymakers and see where they're at with this, because I do think things are changing quickly. People are starting to realize, you know, just how big a deal this is. And I think a lot of people have moved on from asking, like, is this real, to like, what do we do about it? And I think, you know, regulations that have been proposed so far are just completely inadequate. We really don't know how to regulate this technology. The only thing that we can do that would be responsible and reduce the risk to an acceptable level right now would be to coordinate a global pause. And so we urgently need to work towards that.
Have you personally or anyone in your group spoken to the leaders of these companies?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know about the other people in the group. I've spoken to Dario a few times in the past. You know, I know a lot of people who have spoken to these people. You know, I made the conscious decision not to go work at a company, you know, much earlier in my career because I didn't believe that, you know, that was the right way to have an impact. And I didn't trust the companies and I didn't want to be beholden to their interests and, you know, not allowed to say things that don't fit within their sort of PR interests and guidelines. But I know a lot of friends and a lot of people in my life have. And so, you know, I'm like close to one degree away from all of them, I would say.
And then there are people who say AI is great. It helps me do all this stuff and it has so much potential and we can't just pause it or stop it. It just has too much potential for helping society deal with problems. Do you run into that much?
Yeah, I do. I think that's something that's very common, especially, you know, in the tech world itself. And I think, you know, there's obviously some great things about AI. There's also some terrible things about it, you know, in its current form and the ways that it's being used right now. But, you know, I'm really concerned about where this technology is headed in the very near future, you know, this year, the next couple of years. And I think that's the most important conversation to be having. And, you know, when we talk about pausing or stopping AI, what I personally want to see is an indefinite pause so that we have enough time to figure out how to control the technology and how to, you know, make sure that we're making choices about if and how and when and whether and why to proceed with various forms of AI technology in a way that is actually beneficial to people and, you know, legitimate. And so that doesn't mean, you know, like long story short, you know, if you're worried about not getting the benefits of AI, we can get them a bit later and not run the risk of, you know, all being killed or losing our power and having our society completely disrupted or destroyed, losing our jobs, etc. So I personally don't feel like there's a huge rush here. And I think it would be really, you know, foolhardy and kind of short-sighted of us to take the kind of gamble that is being, you know, presented to us and really taken on our behalf by these AI companies instead of waiting and giving ourselves more time to do it more carefully if we choose to.
Have you seen much progress on the issue in other countries?
Yeah. So actually, earlier this year, I was testifying before Parliament for two different parliamentary committees in Canada. And I felt like that went very well. And it seemed like people were, you know, quite interested in the issue and understanding and grappling with some of the really important parts of it. I know there's been a lot of progress within the UK as well. So I was a professor there at the University of Cambridge before I took my position at the University of Montreal. And I was there working with the UK government for a little bit in 2023 at the first government agency devoted to this issue. Unfortunately, I think no government is doing enough yet, but I do know that UK parliamentarians have signed a statement put out by this group Control AI expressing, you know, their concern around the issue. And, you know, I think we're seeing sort of progress everywhere at different paces, at different rates. And this is a trend I've been seeing the entire time I've been in the field over the last 15 years, roughly, but it's just not happening fast enough. So I'm now taking leave from my academic job to focus on accelerating that and helping people understand the issue and what they can do about it.
You mentioned just the UK, but and Canada are a little ahead of the US, but that's kind of typical when it comes to regulation of just about everything, I think.
Yeah, well, you know, there's more regulation in Europe. There's actually more regulation in China as well. I don't know, you know, if these countries are ahead in terms of understanding the potential impact of the technology. So it's a little bit unclear what's happening with the US government right now. I think some people in the government don't really understand how big a deal this is, that it's not just going to be like a big moneymaker, but it's going to really, destroy the world, or at least very likely to. And I think other people, kind of don't care or are willing to take that gamble or think that, the new world order is going to be one that's very good for them personally and their allies. And so they're happy to, screw over everyone else and don't really care if normal people can even continue to have a job, so they can continue to put food on their table and so on.
Do you get the impression that many people are not concerned with the issue at all because they just don't know much about it, or it doesn't seem like anything that would affect their particular job?
Yeah, I think that's changing, but I think there's actually some research showing that historically, while people are very concerned about AI, when you ask them, the political saliency of the issue is low. So it's not something that they think about that often, especially when they're thinking about politics. But, it's rapidly rising. So the most recent study shows that the political salience of AI is rising faster than anything else. And, I think when I talk to people, I think they are concerned. And I think one thing that's really important is for people to talk about this more, because it sounds weird, and I think a lot of people feel like they're alone in their concerns, because we aren't having the public conversation about it that we should be, that we need to be. And so much of the narrative is dominated by what I really view as sort of less important topics or distractions, like even, at the level of kind of the boardroom drama of like, what just happened at like this company? You've hired this person or fired this person or something. I see so many news articles about that, and I'm like, I don't give a shit. All these people are working on this technology that is going to kill everyone. Why aren't we talking about that?
Anything else you want to add to what you said?
No, I mean, I'm really looking forward to this protest tomorrow at noon. So we'll be at Anthropic, OpenAI, and xAI. I think it's going to be the largest protest of its kind in the history of the U.S. So there was another quite large one in London recently, and I think this year I'm really expecting AI to become a much bigger issue, because I think people are increasingly catching on to just how crazy the situation is and how little is being done to protect them and their friends and family and loved ones.
And I guess war making is a big issue, kind of a sub issue, how much destruction can AI cause? Do you get that a lot from people?
Definitely some. Historically, when I think back to, like 10 years ago or whatever in the field, when I was talking to people about AI and the issues with AI, one thing is that people were really skeptical that AI would get so powerful so fast. And so I think they've been proven wrong on that point for sure. But they were also very skeptical that AI would show the kind of signs we've seen of, going rogue and losing control over it. And I would always say, well, like people would tell me, I'm not going to be worried until we see like, robots with guns marching in the streets. And I was like, well, that's where this is headed. If we don't do something to stop it, that will be where this will ultimately end up. And I think people were really skeptical about that, because nobody in the field that I talked to wanted to see AI developed for use in the military. That was just widely viewed as something that was really dangerous and not what we wanted, and not what got anybody into the field. And so a lot of people, in the past, when I was an intern at DeepMind, there was a lot of internal discussion about Project Maven, a lot of resistance to that, much more minor foray into dealing with the military at that time. And I think now that we're seeing these companies really, going into it full throttle, so to speak, I'm disappointed that more of my colleagues haven't stepped up to really, to do something about that, to protest or to quit. And I do think it's a hard problem to solve, like all the other AI problems. The problem underlying all of this is AI getting more powerful. And so we really need, an international agreement to stop making more powerful AI. And that's the solution that I see here. And I think we can do it. A lot of people think it's inevitable. We can't stop it. There's nothing we can do. But that's one of the main purposes of my organization, Inevitable, is to show that, no, there is a solution. If we have to, we can get rid of the AI chips and the factories that make them. And that's a very simple and robust way to stop AI progress. And we could monitor that and enforce that. And we could start working on that today if we had the political will. So I think that's what we should be doing, unless or until somebody has a better plan. because at the end of the day, governments are going to need to be confident that their adversaries aren't building super intelligent AI in secret. And any plan that doesn't give them that confidence, I don't think is going to work. So that's kind of the thing that I think, you know, the answer to the like what about China question in my mind is, you know, we have to go hard on this, and we have to find a really robust solution, and we don't have long to do it, so let's get to work.
Yeah, it seems like some people are so enamored with the technology and what it can do that they don't really take ethical concerns all that seriously. So it's just more of a technical mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things I'd like to do, just from the point of view of raising public awareness, is to compile just a list or a video of all of the incredibly, like, shockingly antisocial, anti-human things that people working on this technology have said in public. It's really eye-opening. How many people are really, you know, just eager for AI to take over, or think that, you know, they don't care. They're really just in it, you know, to get rich, and they don't care if it has a risk of killing everyone. You know, people just say these things. And these are, you know, a decent chunk of the people working to build this technology have these kinds of completely unconscionable views.
That's University of Montreal AI professor David Kruger speaking with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg. This interview was released on March 24th, 2026.